True Crime Broads with Crystal and Renee.
Well, hello. Welcome to True Crime Broads. This is Crystal.
And Renee.
And we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And if you listened to our last episode, Renee had gotten some security experts to come on who were experts in security camera installation and design. And Renee, that was so cool. Thank you for doing that. I would have never even thought of having security camera experts on. Thank you for thinking of it and then for following up on it and recruiting some really great guests. That was fun.
Absolutely. I did enjoy that a lot.
They were really good guests and they just were so giving of their time, and they didn't even want us to plug their company because they said, oh, we got plenty of business. We just want to help out. So that just could not have been nicer. So another big thank you to Jerry and Mason for coming on last time. And I wanted to mention before we get started that I thought of a question. And if I sounded, I couldn't even speak in complete sentences on that last episode because I was working and I didn't, you know, with Jerry and Mason being on the West Coast, I'm sorry, on the East Coast, I didn't want to ask them to wait. If it was just me and you, Renee, would have said, oh my gosh, I need another hour. But I didn't want to do that because we had guests lined up and they were an hour later. It was already late at night. And so there was something blowing up in my real estate world. It wasn't a big deal, like if I would have been able to pay attention to it. But the fact that I was yapping on a podcast made it nearly impossible for me to deal with that. So I just wanted to apologize to everyone who was listening because I couldn't even speak in complete sentences that night because I would see something come across my laptop screen and it was like crazy stuff that I needed to attend to. But anyway, long story short, thanks everyone for your patience with me as I got suffered. Thanks for suffering through it with me as I made practically no sense asking questions. I wonder what Jerry and Mason thought of me. I couldn't even ask a question without getting confused.
Don't worry. We both do that. And I think I did that in that episode as well, because I remember being like,
I would literally be in the middle of the sentence and I would look at my screen and see someone going, the e-signatures aren't working. What do I do? And it was a situation where, everyone was about to go to bed and that contract had to be executed today's date, you know? So it was like, I can't let this go and I can't jump off the podcast. I'm so confused. So anyway, I was double tasking, and you know what they say, if you split your focus, you end up not doing either one of them very well. So that's all right. We've got it straightened out. Here we are. Renee, thanks for putting me in touch with them, because of course I thought of a question later. And the question was one that I had asked Renee several times, and we wondered about it over the years, is most places, especially commercial buildings that have security cameras, they will usually have at least one monitor where you can look to see what the security camera activity is. And I've often wondered if the church had a monitor, and I didn't think to ask them on the air. So they were really nice. I talked to Jerry. Renee and I had a little three-way discussion with him, and he responded very quickly. And he said that it would be very unusual for there not to be a monitor with a security system. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not saying that there is a monitor, or I'm sorry, that there was, because they have a different system now at Creekside Church than they did at the time of the murder. I'm not saying that there definitely was a monitor at the time, but it is a little intriguing to think that if this perpetrator, a lot of people think the perpetrator was familiar with the building, the church, before the murder. So whether that's true or not, it's kind of intriguing to think that maybe the perp could have known where the monitor was and might have been looking into a room, whichever room has the monitor in it, we don't know, and checking to see if she was pulling up. You know, it's possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just another thing we don't know, but it was kind of interesting to speculate on. The other thing, too, is we had somebody in one of the groups mention that sometimes buildings will have security cameras that you look at your computer, you log on, and that's the monitor. So of course that's possible too. I was just thinking in a church, you know, versus a regular business, I could see them having a monitor more than one where somebody would have to log in on their laptop, but I don't know what makes me think that. That was just kind of my feeling. But if anyone knows, I know we have people listening that have probably been to Creekside Church at that time period and might be able to answer that question and might know if they have a monitor or not. That would be interesting to know. It really doesn't matter, but it's just one of those things that I got stuck in my head at some point.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good question.
And did you want to talk about something? And we'll just take turns, I guess.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so one of the things that I wanted to talk about, we had discussed this in the past about taking, you know, we have the podcast because we want to be able to, you know, keep the case alive as much as possible, keep people talking about it. Hopefully people listen to it, think of things, whatever. And we also talked about a billboard because that was something that I had, you know, we had looked up and saw that that was something that people do when they're trying to get more attention to a case. So I had looked up, and I think I did that the last time when we did that podcast, we had that commotion going on or whatever. Remember, it was a crazy night. But anyway, so I finally was able to get a hold of one of the sales representatives at Lamar. And he has given me some information on getting a billboard, and there's other companies to go with. So this is not, you know, the only option that we have, but I just wanted to give everybody kind of an overview of how it works. Cause we had thought about this and people had talked about wanting to contribute or help out with it if we were able to do something. So there's like just this particular company, they have, you know, I don't know, let's see, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. There's 8 options here. And so if you're looking in like the Ellis County area, there's like one over off of 67 towards Duncanville, which I think that's a little bit too far, but I mean, people might disagree with me. I don't know. There's one that's like at 20 and 35, which is kind of close to maybe DeSoto or Dallas. It's right there on the edge of Dallas. And then there's 2 over off of 35 and 287, just south of 287. Maybe like kind of like Alvarado or Venus, maybe. I think maybe Venus. And then there's one in Rigger Springs, one in Garrett, and then one at Ennis. So anyway, how it works is you have to pay $400 for production cost, and that covers the banner that goes on the actual billboard. And it's a 13-week campaign, and that's like the minimum. You can obviously have it longer, but that's the minimum. So like, for instance, let me see. I'm just going to pick the one. That is at, I'll pick the one that's like in, sorry, I'm trying to find the right one. Okay, let's see which one that is. It's 2. Okay. Okay, so this particular one, ooh, this one's high. Sorry. Okay, so it's $400 for the actual, I'll do this one because it's by the Motorplex. You know where the Motorplex is off of 287?
No. I don't remember that.
Okay. Okay. So when you're coming down 35, like from DeSoto, and you go on 287, like towards Ennis, the Motorplex is going to be on your left hand side.
Oh, okay.
There is a.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's in Ennis.
Yeah. We passed it today, literally. And if you're going from Corsicana towards Waxahachie, it's going to be on your left, but it's facing the traffic going towards Ennis. Anyway. This particular billboard would be $400 for the production cost for the banner, and that's yours to keep it. It would be owned or by whoever, you know, whatever. And then $560 would basically be per month for a 13-week campaign. So it would be $560 times 3 months plus that one extra week. And I think he gave me a total, and it was like $1,800 total or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be looking at like $2,200. And maybe just call it an even $2,500 by the time you pay tax and everything.
Right.
You know, at $2,500. So that would be a 3-month thing, you know, just to kind of try it out and see if they're able to get more tips off of it. He said that, you know, he thinks the impressions on this one is 105,000. And I don't know what that number is based on. I should have asked him that. I can ask him again.
You mean the if we were to place it over there by the Texas
Motorplex?
Yeah, is that what he said? That one? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they've done studies on how many people drive by and look at it. That's interesting.
Yeah, he gave me one that was over like in the Duncanville area, which I don't know. I kind of wanted it to be more in the Ellis County area, but that's my thing. Doesn't mean I'm right, but anyway, he said that one has like 183,000 impressions, so a lot more people drive by there. But I was like, but it's in the wrong area, so that's just my thinking. But it's a lot more money, a lot more. It's like, oh wait, this one's not. I'm not telling you the right one. This one's in Waxahachie or Red Oak, and this one's $2,000. That's a lot of impressions, though. It's a lot more. But anyway, but I just wanted to give everybody kind of an example of how it works. So if we were to do something like this and everybody was interested in it, because we had several people contact us and ask if we were going to do something like this and if they could contribute. And, you know, absolutely, we would love to put something together and be able to do something like this. But we would definitely need some help because we, you know, obviously can't do this by ourselves. So I just kind of wanted to give everybody an idea of what it would be like, you know, to the monetary part of it and what it would be like. I mean, I think it would be great. And then obviously we would want to include the reward money on there. He made a suggestion on that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So that's all I had on that. And
that's
then,
really
of course,
great. Thank you for all the research you put into that. That's,
well, you're
that's
welcome.
Really cool. And, you know, we'll have to try to think of some creative ways to come up with the money. You know, crowdsourcing. What do you think? Crowdfunding, whatever they call it. Are you thinking of maybe like a GoFundMe or?
Yeah,
or approaching businesses and asking them to donate, or what do you think would work?
You know, I don't know. I guess we could ask everybody to maybe if everybody listens to this podcast, give us your thoughts on that. What you think if we should do a GoFundMe or whatever? Because I've never really done anything like this before. Honestly, I don't know if you have, but I haven't really ever done anything like this, so I don't know what people's preference is or what works best. You know, that kind of thing. But I'm sure we can come up with, you know, get some good information from everybody, good feedback, and then we can figure it out from there. But any of those would be good with me. And then, and I think the ones that he sent me the information on are all available pretty, like now or within the next week or two. And I think there was only one that wasn't available till July.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that would
and
give
you know
us some
what?
Time.
July's coming right up. This is already June 18th, the time we're recording this. Almost the 19th. It's pretty late.
I was wrong about that. This one is available August 2nd. So that would give us time. That's right. We talked about that. That would give us time to get money together.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
Sounds
so
like
that would be.
As they say in Texas, it sounds like a dill pickle.
Yeah. Okay, and then also we started talking about the reward money, which kind of led me to the question. So I wanted to ask you your thoughts on this and everybody else too. So the reward money, I had to go back and look because I didn't remember because it's been a very long time since we've seen anything about the reward money or heard anything about anything actually. But the reward money is $50,000. Oak Farms, I guess, donated $10,000. And then another $10,000 came from SWFA, which I don't think I ever knew that. And then $30,000 came from two anonymous donors of $15,000 each, totaling $50,000. So I don't know if that is like something that just forever is a deal because they did it. I mean, like if the, you know what I mean? Like cases don't get solved for years and years, like 10, 15 years. I mean, does it just like always remain $50,000? So I don't really know about that. But he did say we would want to include that on the billboard.
What oh yeah, definitely. Money is very motivating. So,
right, that's true. What do you think about the money though? Do you think it just stays that way all the time, or
what? That's a really good question. You know, we talked about that earlier and on the phone, and I don't have any idea. I don't know. I assume it's still there. It seems like somebody looked into it, but you know, time goes by so fast. It's probably been a couple years now because we're just past the 4-year mark of the murder. And I feel like sort of halfway through, people started wondering if it was still on. And it seems like something came out from MPD that said it was still. But, you know, that's still been a couple of years. So we do need to verify that those are still all in place. I don't know how that works. I assume it's when you pledge to, you know, have a reward, you're the company like Oak Farms, for example. I think you're pledging until it gets solved. I don't think that you revoke that, you know what I mean? At any point you go, oh, this is taking too long to solve. I'm not going to pay a reward.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have a question. I mean, I've asked someone that would know in MPD about that. So we'll see if I hear back from them, and I'll let everybody know, or let you know too.
Okay. Yeah, please do.
Okay. What else? What else were we going to talk about?
Oh, you know what? We were going to talk about, you know, somebody pointed this out to me the other day, and it really all of a sudden just stuck out in my head and made me want to explore it even more. You know, we've seen all the Camp Gladiator, geez. We've seen all the search warrants in this case. Mm-hmm. And we check quarterly so that mm-hmm. we don't miss any new ones that might be happening. And there's mm-hmm. really not been much search warrant activity in forever. In fact, I think the last one was last summer. It was that Google data, geofencing data. Right. And really it didn't appear that anything came out of that we can tell. But, you know, this is really important to me. They have not done any search warrants on anything to do with Camp Gladiator. Isn't that weird? Because, you know, the Camp Gladiator trainers have their own email address through Camp Gladiator. So they can use that, you know, that's totally separate from whatever Yahoo or Gmail or whatever their personal email is. They actually, when they join Camp Gladiator, they get a Camp Gladiator email account. And there was no search warrant on that stuff, any of that data. And apparently on the Camp Gladiator sites, they have a picture of the trainer and their email address next to it. So you know exactly who you're writing. And, you know, that perpetrator could, if it's someone that likes to target trainers, they could be contacting other trainers right now. And law enforcement would have no idea because I don't know. It's just, it's very strange to me that they did not pull any of the Camp Gladiator stuff. It seems like all of Missy's class check-ins, they did question, we know that they questioned people at the scene, but as far as search warrants go, I'm very, very shocked that there wasn't some activity there with the Camp Gladiator data.
That is absolutely crazy. Like you know, that you would think that would be like one of the first things they would do, in my opinion.
Right. Because, you know, people could say, oh, well, her death had nothing to do with Camp Gladiator. But we have to admit, though, she got killed doing that. I mean, she was at the church for no other reason than to teach a Camp Gladiator class. Right. So to say that her death was unrelated to Camp Gladiator, we can't really say that.
No,
with any confidence. You know,
anytime, and this is just my thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always been under the impression that, like, for instance, obviously, if a police officer gets killed in the line of duty, you know, the department or maybe the city or whoever probably pays the family something because they were killed in line of duty, because you don't know that it was or wasn't connected to that, because obviously it's not in this case, it hasn't been solved. And that was something that I thought about, and you just brought it to back to my mind. That I bet either Brandon or someone in the family probably got some money from her death because it happened while she was working.
So you think Camp Gladiator might have like a, you mean like a policy?
Yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that. We should look into that and find out. That never even crossed my mind. I know they definitely have that for police officers, but I didn't know. I didn't know that Camp Gladiator trainers did.
Well, I don't either, but, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, they probably have some type of insurance because mm-hmm. of the fact that they're doing physical activity and they're mm-hmm. also working on other people's property. So they got to have something because if, you know, Camp Gladiator trainer goes in and, you know, accidentally, you know, bumps into something and breaks it or whatever, mm-hmm. then they got to be able to pay for it or whatever. So I would just assume that they would have some type of commercial insurance of some sort, you know, or something, but.
You know what else is, you know, you bring up a really interesting point. I was talking to someone who's involved in Camp Gladiator and was answering a few of these questions. And one of the things is this particular person with Camp Gladiator said that none of them have permission to be teaching inside of classes. I mean, I'm sorry, inside of churches, inside of buildings. They are supposed to be a parking lot. Yeah, they're supposed to be an outside parking lot kind of thing. And so, wow. Yeah. So if Missy was teaching inside the church, this person speculated that that might have been sort of an under the radar thing, because, you know, having access to the bathrooms is one thing, but mm-hmm. it's sort of iffy on whether or not she had permission to be teaching inside. You know, we saw mm-hmm. that it looked like she had taught inside potentially when it was really cold in January. And we don't know. I mean, it's possible Creekside completely gave a green light.
Right.
But just sort of people inside Camp Gladiator were sort of like, never seen that before. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, I will tell you this, and I noticed this today, and I don't, you know, it's funny how you can do a search for things and see things that you've never seen before, and you've done that same search 12 times. But today I was looking for something specific, and I didn't find it, but I did find something else that Missy posted back in September of 2015. And so I'm going to tell you, just because it may or may not answer a question in a kind of way. But anyway, she posts, "We have started a new camp at our new location, Creekside Church of Christ. All church members and staff of Creekside get a free 4-week camp. Contact me for details. Not a Creekside member, but you are ready to try Camp Gladiator. Sign up at campgladiator.com and use the discount code Midlothian Special for a $39 4-week camp." And I've never read that before. I mean, it was just interesting. So whatever, you know, I guess if the Creekside Church is allowing them to do stuff that apparently they all know about it. Cause I mean, she's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's like, she's doing the Camp Gladiator and the church post all in one. So maybe they do know. I don't know.
No, I think you're onto something there. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's worth looking into some more. But that person I was talking to, you know, was really deep into Camp Gladiator at the same time Missy was, and they were just really not sure. They just traditionally have not been allowed to do, they're not permitted to do anything in churches inside the building. So I thought that was interesting. We'll have to check into that some more. But anyway, yeah, that was about all I had on that. I just sort of, the concept of MPD or the FBI or anyone just sort of letting that Camp Gladiator email account slide, I don't know. I don't really understand that. And like you and I were saying on the phone, if let's say that she had her Camp Gladiator email to set up to where it came into her iPhone as just another account. Mm-hmm. Like I think most of us do have all of our email accounts coming into our phones. Even still, you would want to do a search warrant on the company hosting it, you know, just in case things had been deleted or it wouldn't be as easy to, you know, to get it out of a phone, you know, in case someone did some deleting. I don't really know how that works, but I'm just saying, I would think that it would just make sense to get a search warrant on Camp Gladiator things, generally speaking, and then specifically the email account. I mean, that communication in that email account could have all kinds of pertinent information in it about the murder.
Absolutely. I mean, that is absolutely true. I never even thought about that. So that's a good point that you made, and I'm glad you found that out. So we need to research that a little more.
Yeah.
And I mean, what can we do though about the part about I'm blown away by the fact that they didn't check that. To me, that would be, in my mind, one of the, not the first thing, but one of the first things that you would do in investigating this case. Like, okay, who was in the class? Is there a list? Where's the list of names? Oh, it's on an iPad or whatever. Right. I have to check it in. Okay, where's this at? And then go from the email and go from there.
Well, exactly. And then by law enforcement's own admission, they think that the perpetrator was checking her information online to see where she would be. You know, they referred to her posting her whereabouts, and there was even something in a search warrant about they think that the killer was checking even as recently as on the way to the church to make sure she was going to be there. So That implies that they thought that this was possibly someone who was stalking her, and she was posting as a Camp Gladiator trainer. So why not take all the information they can get from Camp Gladiator? That's baffling.
It is baffling. It really is. So,
and you know who keeps law enforcement, who keeps the government in check for us, is our media. And as much as we are puzzled by law enforcement's actions in this case, or lack of actions. I have to say the exact same thing about the media. I mean, where are they? Why aren't they asking these questions? Why are two amateur podcasters sitting here and asking these questions? We don't even know if anyone's listening, but it's like, I mean, we need somebody with some clout needs to be asking MPD these questions.
You know, what's funny about that, you said that, is that one of our members on our group earlier said, where are our shoe leather reporters? And I started laughing because I was like, I actually posted that exact same thing in another group one time, because I was like, you know, the problem is, and I think it was John Kelly that mentioned this, I think, that, you know, one of the problems in not solving cases is that these policemen get so used to being able to do it by DNA and all this other stuff that they, all this technology, that they forget you actually have to go out there and do things and talk to people. And that's the problem. And it's the same thing with reporters. Like, where are they?
Like the old gumshoe detectives. It's like, you actually have to get out there and get face to face with people. And like you said, the same with reporters. You got to knock on some doors. You got to maybe get people a little bit upset. Maybe, you know, I always thought it was so obnoxious when reporters would ask people questions while they were getting in their cars, you know, hey, what about this? And then the person, it'll be like a city council member that did something wrong or something. They'll get the car and slam the door and not answer the question. But I would actually be in favor of that right now. If somebody went over there and asked the chief of police for Midlothian, what the heck are you guys doing? I would, you know, why is nobody holding them accountable? I'm not saying they're not doing their jobs. They could be over there right now breaking a major sweat, all sitting around a conference table, wigging out over this case for all I know. But why aren't they telling us what they're doing? And why do they want to give the impression that they don't care by not giving us any updates? That doesn't even make any sense.
I don't know, girl. I don't, you know, I thought about this too, that we should, you know, turn our podcast into like an interview thing where we'd be like, we have this question. What do you think? You know, like put them on the mic. Here you go. Answer that question.
Right, exactly.
What do we have to lose at this point?
I know, right? I know. And also, you know, we've talked to some people behind the scenes, you know, certain things get said in the different messaging forums, but then, you know, there's different conversations going on behind the scenes. And a lot of people close to the case are very frustrated and don't understand. Even people close to the case don't understand what Midlothian PD is doing. People don't really understand what the involvement is of outside agencies like the FBI or the Texas Rangers. And I mean, of course, we heard that they sent the Texas Rangers away early on, and it sounds like we've pretty much gotten that confirmed. But just overall, the whole complexion of this case, it's just confusing, and we don't know which direction it's going. People close to the case don't seem to know much more than we do. So what is going on with that? And at what point, and I guess my question first is, who could challenge them and just say, I guess the family members, the immediate family members would be somebody they'd listen to, but I still feel like law enforcement is sort of brushing them off from what we've heard. And just who can finally just say, all right, you guys need to give us an update. You know, we joked about it before, like, show us your work, you know,
exactly.
Like you do your kids when they're doing their homework. It's like, show me what you have so far.
I want to know that you're doing something.
Right. And kind of, where's this going? Do you have a plan? You know, I mean, not to be condescending, they're the professionals. I get that. And we're not, but at some point when years have passed since there's been an update, and this is a hot case, and even if you want to look at this selfishly from a law enforcement point of view, I would want to say to these guys, don't you want to have a career changing experience here? You could be the guy that CNN calls and HLN calls and Fox News calls and all these different shows that have experts on. You could have a career doing that and make lots of money if you can crack this case. Same for the DA. This could change that guy's career and make his name huge. I mean, why don't they get the gate analysis technology that's right there, directly a 0.5% under fingerprints as far as accuracy goes? What do you guys have to lose? Get them out here. Who cares about the budget? Get it done. I mean, we remember a while back when I spoke to that company that they implied that they would probably do it for free or at a huge discount. Just do it. Like, what are they waiting for? I don't understand.
They said they did it already, but you know,
they said that they had something similar. And I just, my husband and I were going, really? I mean, it's not like there's a lot of that stuff. There's like two companies in the world that do it. So I think they must have been referring to maybe what the Tarrant County Department did, and then maybe in conjunction with the forensic podiatrist, which is all great. That's all wonderful. But if there's gait analysis technology out there like Scotland Yard uses, I mean, like that Chinese company that I sent you, and I believe the other ones in Japan, just this is the perfect case for the gait analysis technology software. I mean, why wouldn't they just try it? And then if it works, guess what? You are the first murder case in the United States to be solved using this technology. That is huge. I don't know why they're not thinking outside the box. I feel like I don't know what they're doing at NPD, and that frustrates me. Is it because I'm a nosy neighbor type? Maybe that's my personality, but I'm also outraged that a woman who was minding her own business walked into a church and got murdered out of nowhere. And there's just no explanation for that. That doesn't, how can that sit well with anybody? I don't even know. If I was those cops, I would be up there morning and night trying to figure this out. You know, I'm just frustrated.
You know what I have to say about that is, you know, you said something a while ago that made me think, you know, about challenging. And Doug Carter is the police chief, I believe, in Delphi, Indiana. And he's the one that spoke on one of the interviews that they did, or press conferences, whatever it was, to the killer of the person or persons that killed those two little girls. And he wasn't playing. He was serious. He was like, you think we're not watching you? You think we ain't gonna catch you? You got another thing coming. And of course he said it differently, but you get my point. He was not playing around. He was talking to the killer. He was like, you think we're not watching you? You think we're not gonna figure out where you're at? You know, you think we don't know this and that? I mean, he wasn't playing around. And, you know, I challenge, you know, MPD to give this man a call. Give him a call and see what, because they made some progress with that. That conversation, that press conference, whatever, it made a difference. They started getting lots of tips from it. They actually released more of the video and more of the audio that they had, and it made a difference. So release, 15 more seconds of the video. Do something. Do something. Talk to us. I mean, just sitting around doing nothing is obviously getting us nowhere. And it seems like, it feels like, and we may not be right, but it feels like all of us, you know, amateur armchair detectives, whatever you want to call us, care about this case more than they do.
Yeah, it does appear that way. And you're not the first person to say that. I mean, there's people close to the case that are just like, what is going on here? And, you know, it's funny, you bringing up the Delphi police officer made me think of, there was a movie, if you're from Texas especially, you will love this movie. It's called Bernie. It came out in 2011. It's on Amazon Prime for free right now if you have Amazon Prime. But in that movie, stars Jack Black. It's a Texas movie. It was written by Texans, and it was directed by Texans, and it's fantastic. And it's based on a true story. I don't want to ruin anything else, but if anyone loves true crime, you will love this movie. But Matthew McConaughey plays the district attorney in this movie. And he was great. And he would look in the camera and say, I'm coming to get you. I mean, to Bernie. And that's what we need. I mean, we need Matthew McConaughey and Bernie. We need that district attorney. Now, of course, it's really funny because this was based on a true story. So he was actually portraying the actual district attorney from that real murder case. So I kind of wonder if this was sort of a cartoonish portrayal, or if that guy was really like that. I don't know, but but we need Matthew McConaughey. That we type do. Of thing.
We do. We absolutely need that. But yeah, that's for real. We really do. I mean, you know, he said something else. He said that they were one piece away from solving the crime. They just needed that one bit of information. And what's so funny about that is, or not, I wouldn't say funny, but what's so interesting about that is that they say the same thing in this case. They say, we really believe that somebody knows who this person is. Assistant Chief Police Kevin Johnson, he said at a press conference at one point, and they say, we think we're just, they just need, how do they word it? We just need that one piece of information that somebody knows something, and that's going to be what's going to open or just break this case wide open. It's kind of the same situation, but we, you know, with them just sitting back doing nothing, everybody's just going to forget this case. It's just going to get pushed over to the side. It's going to get completely forgotten. And it just really is sad that it's, you know, like you said, two amateur podcasters trying to push for attention in this case and nobody else is doing anything.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. It doesn't even make any sense. And I don't know what the next step is. Can the family, like you had mentioned a while back on one of our shows that you were watching one of the true crime programs, and they had a case in a very small town. I think it was in Ohio. And you were saying that the police department there just took one look at it and said, we're going to have to hand this case over to the Attorney General's office. We're just not equipped to handle this. Why on earth didn't Midlothian Police Department make that wise decision early on? And here's something else we have to remember. When Midlothian police were called to the scene that morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, they arrived and they quickly realized that they could not process the crime scene. So they called the Ellis County Sheriff's Department over to do it. I mean, wouldn't that be their first clue that they're not equipped for a complicated murder case like this? Yes. And I'm not ridiculing them. I'm not pointing the finger. I'm not making fun of them in any way. I'm just saying that a smaller department who doesn't have a lot of homicides, there's no shame in your game. If you just say, hey, this would be better if this investigation was led by the Texas Rangers, and we could assist and be helpful, but we may just have to give up some of the glory here and let the people solve it who can.
Yeah. Wouldn't you rather your, residents be happy that a case has been solved rather than not solved, and that you may eventually someday solve it? Maybe, maybe not.
At least have a chance. Absolutely. And another thing, well, and it's possible the NPD just didn't realize how difficult it was going to be. And I don't know at what point is it ever too late to hand it over to the Texas Rangers? Like, could they hand it over to them now? I was talking to my husband about that, and he was saying that probably Texas Rangers wouldn't want it anymore, because obviously there's a lot wrong with this case if it's not solved yet, or if they're not close. And who wants to take over a case that's messed up or had maybe evidence that was missed early on, or the crime scene was compromised? We don't know that. I'm just throwing out guesses as to why it's not solved yet. But we simply don't know. So if anyone ever gets annoyed with us, especially in law enforcement, for speculating, I would say that's your fault, mister. You should be updating us. I shouldn't have to be. We shouldn't be throwing out all these wild guesses all these years.
We definitely shouldn't. If you're mad at us, please let us know, because we will be here for you.
Yeah, we would love to have you on the show.
We want to tell everybody, prove us wrong.
We've got some questions for you. Yeah.
We do.
So anyway.
My number is, no, I'm just kidding.
Please text though, don't call. Just kidding. Because you and I never answer. I just thought that was what we would prefer. I'm being stupid. But anyway, actually you do answer, and I really appreciate that. That's kind of rare these days. You do answer your phone. And you answer it even when it's not convenient for you. Like, you'll answer the phone and be like, oh yeah, we're at a restaurant. I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. You're sitting at the table eating.
Okay. I'm good at that. Well, because I figure I'll forget about it later. So I might as well just go, you know, my daughter will call me and I'll be like, I'm really busy. Is everything okay? She'll go, yeah, I'm fine. But I just want to tell you this. I'm like, okay, I got to go. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, how many times have I done that to you? Hey, Renee. Hey, listen, I just want to tell you this real quick before I forget. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'll just hang out, you know? You got to do that sometimes. But anyway, so yeah, MPD, we don't know what's going on. And I don't understand what happens after. At what point does the public get to demand better, or the family members get to demand better? And I don't mean better like they can't handle the case, because we don't know. They may be handling it perfectly. But at what point do you say, hey, the public deserves an update? This is a public security safety issue, so we deserve to know, especially those of you that live close by. I don't live down there anymore, but you do, and that's scary. You guys need to know what's going on. And
I've actually had several situations where and I think I told you the story one time, but this was after the murder. I actually let someone in my house one time to purchase something, and when the person was leaving, I was standing very close to the door. So I just went back to my position at the table where my laptop was, and they were walking out the door, and they turned around. It was a man. He turned around and he said to me, do you always let people in your house while you're here alone?
Oh my gosh.
And, or something like that. And inside, I was literally panicking so bad. But I said, why am I worried? My husband's in the back room and I have a gun on me and he has a gun, so I'm not worried. And he said, oh, and he turned around and walked out. And girl, I don't think I let anybody come back to my house for like 2 months.
I don't blame you. And why would somebody say something that weird?
I don't know. But I mean, after that, I was literally panicking. I was like rethinking everything that I ever did. I was like, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to work in office. I was freaking out. You know, I was really panicking. And it, you know, and it started making me, the fear that was in me at that moment, I was literally just thinking about poor Missy and how sad, you know, and it really bothered me for a long time. And I hated every minute of it. And I thought to myself, I'll never put myself in that position again, ever, 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 you know?
Right.
And of course I do carry, so I have license to carry and I do carry. So that's a good thing, but it doesn't matter. Just that fear of just thinking about it was just absolutely horrible.
Yeah. It's a terrifying feeling. I've had that a couple times in my life too. And you're just, yeah, that's the worst feeling. And to think about Missy, like you said, feeling that way and then understanding, it's so frightening and it was so early and it was so dark outside and raining. How just truly, truly scary must that have been for her? And her last moments on earth were just terrified and things about her daughters flashing before her eyes, her family, don't you know, just horrible. And that's why this perpetrator needs to be caught. They will probably strike again. Anyone that would be so arrogant and so cold and callous and obviously a psychopath to be able to do something like this and then just to dance off into their lives. Because I haven't heard one thing about, we hear a lot of rumors and a lot of stuff. I haven't heard anyone saying that, you know, they were going to turn someone in because they're acting strange. I just think this person is out there just living. I hope they're nervous. I really do.
Yeah, you would think they would be nervous. And I mean, even if it is, you know, somebody that never, you know, doesn't have a plan of murdering again or whatever, it doesn't matter. My gosh, they need to be caught. And they should still be, you know, they should still be doing everything they can. And like you said, we don't know that they aren't doing that, but we don't know that they are. We don't know anything because we haven't been told anything since 2019.
Yeah, and that's just outrageous. And
even before then, it was just that one little brief whatever. It was nothing.
And there are ways to give updates without giving anything away.
Exactly.
If they don't want people in the social media groups to discuss certain things, if they don't want to give out certain information because only the killer would know it, that's fine. They can still just come forward and say, we have, we do have a suspect. We won't be answering any questions about who it is. Or they could just say, we are still don't have a suspect in the Missy Beavers case, and we would still like the public's help with the Nissan Altima. We have not been able to recover any information on that vehicle. We're still looking. I mean, any update would be really nice. Yes.
And just hearing from them at all would be great.
Yeah. And then we would know how we're supposed to participate. A lot of people will be quick to tell you, well, they're not required to give you information. They don't have to update the public. That's true, except they already hooked us in by saying, look for this Nissan Altima. And remember the sticker on the back and all that footage and first of all, it was a still picture that came out. All of that stuff, they were asking us to actively help in the investigation and call in tips. Well, are we still supposed to be looking at Nissan Altimas?
Well, the last update that they sent us, it did say that they wanted us to look for that. And I know I'm not telling you this because I know you already know this, but they did ask for that. And they did say that they think that this will be solved by the help of someone, or that somebody has that one piece of information that can help. But again, like you said, that was in 2019, and that's the last time we've heard from them, and we know nothing now. We literally know nothing. So, yeah. I mean.
And there's been a lot of change in personnel. The guy that was doing the majority of the communicating, except for that initial press conference, I would say that Kevin Johnson did all the communicating after that, pretty much, wouldn't you say?
Right.
Well, he's no longer with the department. He's a pilot now. More power to him. He seems like a super nice guy. I really miss his updates. I miss him being on the force because they don't seem to have replaced him with anyone who's sort of in that role of informing the public and being the liaison between the department and the media. I just haven't seen anybody else in that role since he left.
Didn't Carl Smith do some reporting too, or one of the press conferences?
I think that very first press conference, he's the one that opened the press conference, and then that switched over to Span. And so, yeah, but then I think Kevin Johnson took the mic the rest of the time and was the one informing the media. I may be wrong about that, but that's just how I remember it. But yeah, a little bit of something would be nice. But, you know, there's been a big personnel change. I just kind of have to even wonder if they're still really even working on this case. That's I don't even like to think that, but that's the way they make it look.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. I'm just as irritated as you are. When I seen that video or that press conference, whatever, I call it a video because I was watching it, but of that police chief, Doug Carter, talking, I was like, that's the way you do it right there.
Exactly.
That's how you do it. I mean, he wasn't playing around, girl. He was serious. He was like.
Yeah, and I just want to say to NPD, at least act interested. I don't even care if you are at this point. Yeah. Just act like it at least. Can't you at least put on a show for the public? Yeah. I mean, obviously, I want them to sincerely care. But at least act like it. They don't even, I mean, it's like, why won't you even pretend to care?
Right.
Yeah, we're annoyed. We're annoyed.
We're very annoyed. We're sorry. We're going to keep repeating ourselves because we're so frustrated.
We're ranting at this point. But yeah, I just, if anyone has any ideas out there, I guess I never even got to one of my questions that I was going to ask earlier, which is at what point do you say, I mean, could we get a petition together? Could the family get together? Could there be some sort of an alliance? Somebody bounced this off me before. I mean, could somebody apply enough pressure to get the attorney general to take a look at this case and see what's happening?
Right.
And I feel terrible saying that because it is possible that Midlothian PD is just doing a fantastic job and they think about this case and work on it every single day. But I'm just saying if they refuse to update the public, and it doesn't even sound like they're updating people close to the case, what's next? Like, how can the public, if the media is not going to participate either, how can someone make a difference? How can someone even find out if this is still going on?
And they know as well as we do that whenever it's quiet like this, you know, that just basically tells us all that it's already a cold case because they have nothing else to go on. They have nothing else to, you know, but the way you get more tips and the way you get it, you know, is to bring it back up, which is why we're trying to do stuff. We're trying to get a billboard. We're trying to get, you know, somebody from, you know, a reporter. Oh my gosh, anybody to do anything, which is like, my gosh, pulling teeth, trying to get anybody to do anything, you know. I don't understand that either because it's such a high profile case. I'm clueless.
I'm telling you what, it's amazing just how off the rails this thing seems to have gone. And you would also think that MPD would know that there's nuts like us that aren't going to shut up until they give us an update. Like, why not just update us to make us be quiet? I mean, right? And all the internet sleuths and all, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, we haven't stopped talking for 4 years. Why would we now?
I know. And people are probably like, been talking for an hour now. No, 47 minutes and 46 seconds. I just looked at my phone. But yeah, so what happens next? I tried to contact John Walsh for crying out loud and he hasn't written me back. I've been trying to get a hold of so many, I mean, not him, his, you know, company or whatever, whoever his gatekeeper is. I mean, please look at my message.
I'm trying to get Cold Justice. What's her name? I forgot her name.
Yeah.
I've been messaging her and different stuff trying to get them to do it. But they're really picky apparently about what cases they do. So, and they have to be really old. Like,
Well,
I didn't know that when I first, you know, contacted them.
Trying to find, here we go. I contacted through Facebook the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute, right? I thought that sounded pretty good. So I wrote them on May 13th and I said, hello, my name is Crystal Lawson, blah, blah. I co-host True Crime Broads. We mainly cover Missy Beaver's case. And then after I told them a little bit about the case, I said, would you be able to work her case? The updates from Midlothian Police stopped quite a long time ago. They wrote back and said, I remember covering this case with Nancy Grace. Let's talk. That was on May 15th. I wrote back, awesome. We need your help. They haven't written me back yet. It's been over a month. Wow. Yeah. Wow. So I made that little bit of contact and I was so excited about it. And then bam, nothing. And here's Joe Walsh. I wrote him. They haven't seen, you know how in Messenger and Facebook, you can see if someone's seen your message. Mm-hmm. They haven't even read it. So I guess they're not monitoring that account. It's In Pursuit with John Walsh. So hopefully,
you're probably like on a really long list of people that have messaged them.
I know, right? So I don't know what else to do. I just try to do things here and there that might work, but I'm coming up.
Well, we just have to keep doing what we're doing. You know, that's all we can do is keep doing what we're doing and work on this billboard. And because I really think that the billboard would be really good, because
I do too.
All of a sudden there was a billboard of Missy and it said, you know, $50,000 reward for, I forget how they word it, you know, that a jury indictment and arrest for the person who killed her April 18th, 2016, whatever. You know, I think that would be huge. So hopefully, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested in donating or, you know, helping out with this cause, please let us know, because we really want to do something. We want to make a difference. And I think that would be the start of getting some attention. And it may possibly get attention of the police, because they're going to be like, holy crap, you know, there's a billboard up of it, you know, and they didn't even know. So, I mean, maybe that would get their attention. And obviously, the point of the whole thing would be to get the attention of people calling in tips and so forth, and, you know, just go from there and see what happens.
Yes. And I just don't know what the next step is. I mean, I guess some people would say there's really not a step for you to take. You're not involved in this case. But I just kind of feel like we're not the only ones that are frustrated. There are people out there that also want answers. Obviously people who were close to Missy and love her, but also people like us who are outraged by someone being murdered like this. And for the case to appear to have been stalling. And then instead of asking for help, it just seems like nothing's being done. And you know what? I feel a little bit bad for thinking that way, but at the same time, it's really not our fault that we think that, because they're not communicating with us.
Right.
So yeah, if anyone has any ideas they want to share, please share with us, because we are wide open to suggestions and ideas. And I love the billboard idea. That was such a good idea, Renee. So thank you for all your follow-up on that. And if anyone out there wants to donate to the billboard, we will just probably set up a GoFundMe, or maybe try to find some other way to collect money for it. I know GoFundMe, they have fees. And so some people don't like to use them.
I think we can open up an account at a bank. They usually let you do that for free, and open up an account or something, and then people can just make donations there, and there won't be any money taken out. Because it is a bit of money that they take out of those GoFundMe. You know, the only good part about it is it's like an easy to share with everybody.
Right, that's true.
But, I mean,
I guess that's what you're paying for, right?
Yeah, basically. But, you know, but we could always make an event and share it just as easily. So
yeah, that's true. And then people could go by and make a deposit into the account, you know, in the drive through the bank, or that we could have them Zelle the money, or we can figure it out. Yeah. So yeah, if anyone would want, I mean, and if everyone just gave $10, we would probably get to our goal pretty quickly. You know, we just want to get Missy's name out there and get people thinking about, and another way the billboard's going to be really great is think about all the people who go, oh my gosh, I remember that case. That's not solved yet. You know, those, you know, just to bring the awareness back.
We get that all the time. We always hear, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that case hasn't been solved yet. I had no idea.
Right. And
well, of course we didn't have an idea either, because you know, we're just as shocked as you.
Yeah.
So well, all right. I think is that all we're talking about tonight?
I guess so. I think I covered all my stuff. So wanted to recap the security guys, and I had my little curiosity question about a monitor. We talked about them not doing a search warrant on the Count Gladiator accounts. And you talked about the billboard. I was going to talk about that legal lingo podcast, but it's not a big deal. I'll do it next time. And then that's it. That sounds pretty good. Where are we at? We are at, thank you everyone for bearing with us. We're at almost 54 minutes. So we appreciate you listening to True Crime Broads, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time.
All right. Have a great night.